Susan, higher prices for food hasn't meant higher returns for growers and farmers.
Kia ora, Marnie. A group representing fruit and vegetable growers says it supports the Commerce Commission finding that food and grocery sectors need more competition. In a draft report released this morning, the Commission says the two major chains, Foodstuff and Countdown, dominate the sector, don't compete strongly, and this doesn't work for consumers. HortNZ Chief Executive Nardine Tunley says the lack of competition hasn't worked for growers either. Their costs have increased, but returns haven't gone up for at least a decade. And she says the sector would welcome recommendations around improving transparency in the supply chain.
The farmers are not seeing an increase at the farm gate for 10 years, but we're seeing a substantial increase at the supermarket tools, then that margin erosion is going somewhere. Yes, some of it is an increased cost, but we can't all be specific until we have a bit more transparency.
So no fears that growers will be played off against each other when there are more supermarket operators in the system?
We survive in this environment internationally. We deal with multiple amounts of supermarkets, and quite capably every supplier have found their position in that space. It's around margins, really, and I think having a bit more time to dig into the report and look at the transparency across that will help both consumers and our growers understand it better.
Nardine Tunley says consumers complain that fruit and vegetables are expensive, but comparing a snack food like an apple with a chocolate bar would have the apple coming out cheaper and with higher nutritional value. A small King Country High School leader says yesterday's Olympic medal win by a former student is proof rural pupils can achieve big goals. Rowers Hannah Osborne and Brooke Donoghue won silver in the women's double scull in Tokyo yesterday. Both come from rural schools. Hannah Osborne went to Pew Pew College, 20 minutes south of Te Kauiti, in 2007 and in 2008 when she was 13 and 14. The 135 current pupils watched the race on a big screen in the gym, and Acting Deputy Principal Marina Roputu says the win will have far-reaching ramifications.
It increases their motivation to learn. You know, I mean, we've been through a really dark space, I think, everywhere in the country through COVID and the interruptions to last year and all of those sort of things. So having something like this was like a breath of fresh air, really. It's motivating for the students. It gives them something to aspire to. It gives them something to aim for.
And it is tricky, isn't it? A big commitment was made by Hannah herself going to school in Pew Pew. She had to actually drive, what, 45 minutes at least to get to Te Awamutu for training?
Even worse than that, where she lived, I think it was out in the Hauturu area, she had to travel and connect with buses and things to even get to Pio Pio to begin with. She was a really busy little traveller.
Marina Roputu says the college will host Hannah when she's home, and her photo will go up beside other school sports stars Jenny May Coffin and Rob Waddell. Meanwhile, Brooke Donoghue attended Tekofata College in North Waikato. Northland farmers and authorities are hoping to find a solution to rid feral dogs, which have killed over 100 stock in the region. Around 40 people turned up to a community meeting in Hohora yesterday. The issue came to light after dogs killed around 150 sheep, lambs and chickens on Anne-Marie Nilsson's farm near Cape Reinga.
At the moment, we've had 5 nights without a dog on the scene, which for us has been really great. But I was actually talking to the neighbour yesterday, and the dogs have just gone to his place.
She says losing her animals and then having to clean up the mess has had a huge mental toll on her. At the meeting, locals floated multiple ideas to control the feral dogs, including using helicopters, the defence force and poison. Far North District Councillor Matt Radish says right now rangers can only trap the dogs and not kill them, something that needs to change.
There's two solutions, either poison the dogs or send up the dog rangers. Yeah, that belong to the Far North District Council and get rid of them. I can't see any other way. You know, it's actually a Far North District Council problem.
Mate Radish and Anne-Marie Nilsson says legislation needs to change to differentiate between domestic dogs and feral dogs so hunters can kill them. Export beef prices are remaining much higher than expected for this time of year, reaching levels normally expected in the spring peak. In the important United States market, strong demand usually runs from late May to early July. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode says the fact prices remain high is encouraging, especially as the US domestic supply is increased at present because a lot of cattle are being killed.
Look, the western half of the US is enduring record high temperatures at the moment, with as much as over 60% of land classified as an extreme or exceptional drought. The US beef cow kill has been elevated for months now, and the US dairy cow kill has begun to spike in the latest slaughter stats. Demand for imported beef has been easing, just as US buyers are working through inventories that were built up for the 4th of July holiday weekend. Now, look, this is in keeping with usual seasonal patterns, but prices for imported beef have held up remarkably steady during this time, and that's been aided purely by the lack of competing Australian supply. So I think we're seeing those prices around 25% up on the five-year average, which is promising for returns back at the farm gate.
AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode. Further afield now, and France and Germany have announced they will be the first countries to put a stop to the crushing and gassing of male chicks in commercial hatcheries. The mass culling of unwanted male chicks is common practice in global industrial farming, as the males are considered redundant. The two nations have been working on technology that can determine the gender of the chick within an egg. That way, farmers can choose to only keep female eggs. Commercial hatcheries will need to install the gender testing machines before chick culling is outlawed next year. And finally, an English shearer has set a new world record, shearing 872 lambs in 9 hours. Stu Connor broke the previous record by 6 lambs overnight in Cornwall, and this new record has an odd New Zealand connection with one of the judges watching via Zoom from his home in North Canterbury.